All right, take your Bible if you would, please. Take your Bible and open to Luke chapter number 2. We'll read some scripture there, then we'll go over to Philippians chapter number 4. Always enjoy a good season of prayer. I'm encouraged just to see people want to come out to prayer meeting. And, when you count it important enough to take time out of a very busy schedule, and we all have busy schedules, and you count it important enough to just set aside a time and say, no, I'm going to prayer meeting, it's very encouraging to see a group of people that have that mindset. Now, you're doing yourself good, but I want you to know you're doing your pastor good, and I think you're doing others good when you come to church. It's just encouraging. You will get something from it, but you'll also give. You'll give other people encouragement that church is needful, and that we still recognize that. We still recognize that church is needful in our day. So Luke chapter number 2, I was particularly encouraged by the two young men that led us in our prayer tonight. I am thankful for what these two young men had on their heart. Someone said, if you want to know what's on a man's mind, you listen to him speak. If you want to know what's on his heart, listen to him pray. And it's just encouraging to me that some of these young men in our fellowship are leading their families in the way that they're leading them. And it's just encouraging. It really is. And I pray, young men, you would just keep right on leading them. Don't let the devil, don't let the naysayers, don't let the world, don't let it stop you. Just keep leading your families to serve Jesus with their life. There is absolutely nothing greater you can do for your family than to lead them in a spiritual way. And so I'm just very thankful for that. Luke chapter 2, would you stand? Luke chapter 2, and perhaps you found yourself also over in Philippians chapter 4. We'll turn there after we read the scripture and have prayer. Luke chapter number 2, very familiar passage of scripture. It's been coined as the Nativity, and the reading of the Nativity of when Jesus came into the world. And so I'll start in verse number 10 of Luke chapter 2, just for sake of time. There's a phrase on down in verse number 14 that I want to get to, but in verse number 10, after we get an introduction here of the taxing that was going out, it was almost like a census was being given, and so people were going back to their hometowns for that census, and the scripture tells us that there was a special reason behind this, that the God of the universe was just turning some things to get things where they needed to be and people where he wanted them to be, so that this could be the way that it was prophesied to be. God's going to see that everything in His Word is going to come to pass just like He said. Amen. If He has to turn the heart of a king in order for that to happen, then He'll turn the heart of a king. Amen. If He has to stop the sun for that to happen, He'll stop the sun. The sun will stand still. Amen. So, well, the sun can't stand still. Well, the earth did. Amen. That's right. That's right. See, that's the God we serve. 100% sure of it in my heart, no reservations whatsoever, zero doubt into what God has said has either come to pass, is coming to pass, or will come to pass, just the way He said it would. And I'm so grateful that God has just made that a reality in my heart, and I trust He has yours as well. Verse number 10, Luke chapter 2, the angel, and the angel said unto them, fear not. I have to say this, when Pastor Brandon was teaching Sunday school Sunday, a very good Sunday school lesson, I thought about the Christmas story. You ought to go through the scripture starting in Matthew and the references around the Christmas story and look at how many times this phrase right here is used. Fear not. Fear not. There was a lot of fear, a lot of turmoil in the world at the time that Jesus was born. And Romans, they were ruling with the iron heel. and there was a lot of trouble, and the angels of the Lord would fear not. Now, I believe that was because of them, but I believe it was because of the times too. And I believe we hear that message even today. Fear not. Fear not. In a day in which we live, when media, now listen to me, is doing all that they can to invoke fear in the hearts of people. It's almost like you can hear a message if you'll listen real closely from heaven. Fear not. Fear not. Don't let them put fear in your heart. That's the first step of control, because fear paralyzes. Fear not, in verse number 10. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. What a statement. What a statement. I'm glad it's to all people, aren't you? What a message we have. Good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. I want to talk about that peace. Peace. The peace of God. Do you know the peace of God? Are you experiencing it? You say, well, preacher, there's not peace on the earth. Well, not yet. Not yet. But that doesn't mean there can't be peace in your life. There can be peace in your heart. Trouble all around you, and you can be steady in your heart with the peace of God. I pray you know something about that. Now, one day, the very Prince of Peace himself is going to come and set up his kingdom upon this earth, and there will be peace on earth. There will be peace for 1,000 years. You know that, right? Amen. Say, well, I know it now because you told me. Not because I told you. God said it, so it's going to happen. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, I pray that you would help someone tonight from your word to know what it is to have peace in their heart. God, we thank you for the peace of God that passeth all understanding. I'm resting in that sweet peace tonight, and I just want to say thank you. Peace in my heart in a troubled world. How I thank you, Lord, for that peace. And I pray that the peace of God would flood the hearts of the believers in this fellowship of believers here this evening. Help us, Lord, to have not only the eternal peace, but the inner peace of God that comes from knowing Christ as our Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. You can be seated. I have peace in my heart. It's not something that started today. I have peace in my heart through Jesus Christ. I trust that you really know something about that. I talked to you a little bit as we go to Philippians chapter 4. I talked to you just a little bit Sunday about, well, I talked to you about turmoil, an unrest. There is an unrest in people's lives. Philippians chapter 4. There is an unrest. People are seeking rest and peace. Of course, they're looking all in the wrong places. But I'm thankful that I know something about that peace. In Philippians chapter 4, I'm going to have to preach. I think I may have left my notes in my other Bible. But if I did, I know enough about peace that I can share with you what God's laid on my heart, with or without notes. And that's what I'll do. I'll do it without the notes. In Philippians chapter 4, I want you to look with me in verse number 4. And I want to give you three things about peace, how you can know the peace of God. I'll give you three things about peace. Philippians 4, look at verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God that passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The peace of God. How can you have the peace of God? Well, the first thing I want you to think with me about is the realm of peace. When the Bible talks about the peace of God, what is it talking about? The realm of peace. Where does that peace start and what does it affect? Well, the Bible says that we are at enmity with God. The natural man is at enmity with God. We're at war with God. We're in opposition to God until we come to Christ and make our peace with God. See, man has declared war on God. Man doesn't want anything to do with God. So when God saves us, according to Romans chapter 5, verse 1, we have peace with God. Now, until then, there is no peace. We're at enmity with God. We're at war with Him. That's why man is in a turmoil in his soul. Man has a tumultuous soul. That's why people are restless and angry. You know, a lot of anger in our world. A lot of hatred in our world. And it's because people are denying God and they're turning away from the Lord. Well, here the Bible says that you can have, in verse number 7, the peace of God in your heart and in your life. The first thing that you need to get settled, and the first thing that I have settled, and I trust that many of you have, is peace with God. That's an eternal peace. It's an eternal peace. The Bible says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So I have peace with God now. I'm saved eternally. I was talking to a man on the phone last night, and we were just talking about some things. He's not a member of the church. He called me and asked him some questions. And he asked me this question. He said, do you believe in once saved, always saved? Now, I want to help you out right here, okay? I never respond to that question with yes. I just don't. Because what I believe is an eternal life. See, if you're not careful, when people are not using biblical terms, then they will not receive a biblical answer. And so I said, well, if you are referring to, if I believe in eternal life, the eternal life of the believer, eternal redemption, eternal salvation, yes, I do believe in that. Now, when you say once saved, always saved, I just want to clarify something here for you, sir. Not everyone that says they're saved is saved. And so I think that's where a lot of people get kind of off track when they say, well, you know, so-and-so says they're saved and they live like this. Well, if they're saved, then surely everybody's saved. Well, not everyone that says they're saved is saved. I believe in eternal salvation. I believe once a man is truly, genuinely saved, he's in the family of God forever. Amen. Amen. He has eternal life through Jesus Christ. He has eternal peace with God. He'll never again be in that natural state. He'll never again be dead spiritually. He's been quickened. He's been awakened. He has fellowship with God. He has relationship with God. And he has peace with God. Well, that's what this scripture's teaching. We have peace, look at it, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. Well, how can that be? Well, there's just some things about God's peace and God's way that we can't understand. Amen. But now I want to talk about a second kind of peace, in this realm of peace. So you can have eternal peace. How does that happen? You get saved. You trust Christ as your personal Savior. You have eternal peace with God. But I want to ask you something a little different than that. Are you at peace with yourself? Because the Bible teaches you need to be at peace with yourself. That's called an inner peace. See, this peace is eternal peace, right? When you get saved, you have eternal peace with God. But now you can be saved and have peace with God and not be at peace with yourself. As a matter of fact, I think we've all, if you've been saved long enough, you've experienced what I'm talking about. I want you to hold your place here and turn just a couple of pages over to Colossians chapter number 3. Depending on how large the print of your Bible, maybe one page or maybe two, to get you to Colossians chapter 3. There's a reference here to the peace of God that is speaking of internal peace, inner peace, not eternal, but inner, internal. Peace with yourself. See, the first peace you need to make is peace with God. Amen. I hope you've made that peace. It's the only way you'll get to heaven. It's the only way you can have any other kind of peace, is to make your peace with God first. But now, you need to get peace with yourself. Did you know there's people that are living under guilt and sorrow and shame that have no need to be living under that? If you have made things right with God, there is an old accuser now that's going to come to you and try to accuse the brethren. Listen, he's accusing you. He's trying to steal that peace that God has given you, and he doesn't want you to be at peace with yourself. And he'll do everything he can. Now listen, he can't change your state with God. When you make your peace with God, you have peace with God. But what he can do, and what he has done to many believers, is they're not at peace with himself. And so they're miserable, on their way to heaven now, on their way to heaven, peace with God, but yet they do not have peace in their heart, peace with their self, and so they're miserable. Now, how do you get peace with yourself once you get peace with God? Well, let's let the Scripture tell us. Look at Colossians chapter 3. Look at verse number 15. And let the peace of God. You don't have to work. Listen, it's there. Just let it rule. When you make your peace with God, just let God's peace do what it does. Amen. I challenge you to go home and look this word rule up. It's a very interesting word. It comes from a word that we got our English word, umpire. Let the peace of God umpire, make the call. Umpire says whether you're safe or out. You don't get to determine that. That's right. Umpire says whether it's a ball or a strike. That's right. Umpire says whether it's foul or fair. Yes. And so what's he saying here? What is this? What is God telling me here? God is saying, you let me make the call. You don't trust your call. You let me make the call. I'll tell you whether it's right or wrong in your heart. You know whether it's right or wrong. Amen. When you go to do something, the Spirit of God will say, hey, and God will, listen, that'll tamper with your peace. It will. And he said, let the peace of God make the call. Let the peace of God, look at it, rule in your hearts. Let the peace of God do that. Now, you don't do anything that's going to mess with that inner peace. Now, you can't change that eternal peace. That's peace with God. But this is peace in your heart. Look what the Scripture says. Let the peace of God rule in your relationship with God. No, you get that settled when you get saved in the grace of God. You now have peace with God, Romans 5:1, through our Lord Jesus Christ. But now there's an inner peace in your heart, and it involves our walk with the Lord, our obedience to the Lord. And when we're obedient to God's way, when we're obedient to God's will, when we're obedient to God's word, the peace of God will rule in our heart. I was talking to a young lady this week, and I said, I think here's our situation here. I think we have knowledge here, but we have obedience here. There's a problem here. Your knowledge is far exceeding your obedience. You need to make up some ground. Amen. See, that's what steals your peace. Because it'd be better for you not to know than to know and not do. Now, brethren, isn't that what the book says? We'd be better off not to know than to know and not do. Why? It robs us of our peace. Our conscience condemns us. God convicts us. It takes something from us. And so there's an eternal peace with God, salvation. But then there's an inner peace that we have when we're at peace with ourselves, when we know I'm doing the will of God. I'm doing what God is asking me to do with my life. I'm obedient to God's word. And when we do things or say things that gets us outside of that, God has given us a way of confession. If we confess our sins, then he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And it restores that peace, not only with God, but with ourself. We have that inner peace knowing I have done the will of God from the heart. Amen? So there's an eternal peace, and then there's an internal or an inner peace, but then there's a third peace. And I want you to turn to Romans for that one. We're talking about the realm of peace. All right? Romans chapter number 12, the realm of peace. All right? The most important peace you can have is with God. But now you can be at peace with God and not be at peace with yourself. But the way you're at peace with yourself is let the peace of God make the call. Let it rule. Right? You don't want to do anything to mess with that peace. You don't want to be disobedient. See, I think people's problem is not ignorance. Most folks who attend church, the problem that we have is not ignorance. It's disobedience. God help me and God help you to be obedient to the knowledge that we have. That's how we continue to have that peace and with ourselves, with the inner man. Now, here's a peace with the external. So we have eternal, internal, external. This is not peace with God or peace with self. This is peace with others. You know, the Bible says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they should be called the children of God. Now, I'm in Romans chapter 12, and I want you to look at verse number 18. Romans 12, verse number 18, the Scripture says this. The Scripture says, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. In other words, don't be a peacebreaker. Don't be a strife stirrer. Don't be a troublemaker. Right? Be someone that's a peacemaker, not a peacebreaker. Keep the peace. Notice what he said now, and I want to break this down. If it be possible. Now, sometimes, I think you and I both know, I mean, people just hem you up. And you've got to, listen, you have to do what you have to do. Sometimes people, won't take, no confrontation cannot be, it cannot be avoided, and so there has to be confrontation. That's why the Bible says, if it be possible, right? Amen. It says, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, in other words, as much as depending on you, you have a part in many situations, and you need to do your part. I need to do my part to keep the peace. Does the Bible teach this, brethren? Amen. Listen, I don't want to live a life of contention all the time. Who wants to live that kind of life? Obviously, a lot of people, because they are. Who wants to be in contention with people all the time? Brethren, we're a people of peace. We're Christians. Amen. We're peacemakers, not peace breakers. We try to keep the peace. We try to reconcile and restore, not break and damage and destroy. And so here's the realm of peace. When I talk to you about peace, number one, peace with God. I trust that you have made your peace with God. And you do that by getting saved, by accepting Christ as your Savior. And I believe that the people under the sound of my voice in the building tonight, at least, and I hope everyone is tuned in by live stream, you've made your peace with God. You've trusted Christ, and that's eternal peace. Thank God for it. But now, in this life, well, there's trouble. And so we have to deal with some other kinds of peace. Peace with ourselves. Are you at peace with yourself? Are you okay with where you are in life? How you're following God? In fulfilling God's will and plan and purpose for your life? I pray that you are. If you're not, you're not going to have peace with yourself. You're just not. If you're not, you say, well, yeah, I can deal with it, preacher. I'm going to tell you what you'll end up doing. You'll end up taking pills. Listen to me now. You go to some doctor and he'll flip you prescription after prescription because you are in a mindset, you are troubled, and you think it's physical, you think it's emotional, you think it's psychological, it's spiritual. Many, many times it's spiritual. Man has broken the commandment of God. Man has not done what God said do, and it's brought about grievance, it's brought about discouragement, and even sometimes leads man into depression, and he thinks, I need a pill to get me out of this. I'm not saying that people who take medicine are out of God's will. I'm just saying that there's not a medication for what God needs to do in your life. The only thing that will help that is obedience, brethren. Obedience. Do what God said do. If you're not doing what God said to do with your life, you're not going to have peace in your heart. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. Do what God said do. And when you sin against light, there's going to be no peace in your heart. When you know to do right and do not do it, there's consequences. And those consequences are taking away that inner peace. And you listen, you don't like yourself. You don't like what you become. You get angry. You get defensive. You're easily offended. You're like a time bomb ticking, ready to go off on somebody. Every time somebody says, well, what are you talking about? I'm not that way. Yeah. Because we're not doing what God has commanded us to do. Please don't become that. Listen, I pray to God that you wouldn't allow the devil to have that place in your life. Give no place to the devil now. He wants to ruin your peace. He wants to take your peace. And he'll do it if you do not follow God's way and God's will. And then peace with other people. You know, right here. I mean, it's the Bible, it even leading up to this, and I want you to go back to verse number 9. I just want to read this to you. This is how you have peace with other people. You say, well, there's just people, I just can't get along with them. Well, let's see what God said here. And I'm just going to read this. Let love, verse 9 of Romans chapter 12, let love be without dissimulation. That word just means hypocrisy. Okay? Should not have to fake it. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. This is why you keep peace with people. Romans 12, verse 9. You see that? Look at verse 10. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love. You live in that way? We're talking about as much as life in you is, if it be possible, right? Be kindly affectionate one to another. Abhor that which is evil, or in brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another, the latter part of verse number 10. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. See, these are ways you keep peace with people. When you're serving other people, I don't know, it just changes the way you view people. It's easy to just sit back and critique and criticize people, but when you start serving people and when I start praying for people, it changes the way that we reach out to people and the way we interact with people. It's easy to sit back in your home and point your finger and say, well, he's not doing this and they're not doing that and they think they're this and they think they're that. It's easy to sit back in your high chair and just rail on everybody. But now when you get out and you get on, you know, boots on the ground and you start ministering to people and serving the Lord and trying to help people, you view people differently, don't you, brethren? You do. And so the Bible says here that we ought to not be slothful in business. We ought to be fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, verse 12, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. We're talking about living peaceably with people. Look at verse number 14. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Don't be afraid to get down with those that are of low estate. Don't think you're better than them and that you're up here and they're down here. Get down there on their level. That's where you reach people, at the level of their need. Be not wise in your own conceits, he said. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. And now, he says, if it be possible. Well, I think if we would just follow the admonition that's been given in verses 9 through 17, it'd be a lot more possible than what we realize to live peaceably with all men. So that's the realm of peace, all right? Eternal. Make your peace with God. Internal. Inner peace. Be at peace with yourself. Let me give one last warning here before we move on to the second point. We're talking about the realm of peace. There may be someone here tonight, and I don't know, If there's not, then store this away. You may need it to help someone or maybe even your own life. When God says He'll forgive you of your sin, He means that. Okay? Can I tell you that there are people who have messed up and they've asked God to forgive them and the devil's still hounding them and they are still listening to that liar, and that's what he is. He's a liar. And he's still hounding them, telling them, well, you know what, that's still your bad, and God still holds that against you. Can I tell you, when God forgives us, then he removes our sin as far as the east is from the west. And when God said he's forgiven you, he's forgiven you. He's moved on. You move on. Amen. Don't you let the devil hang that over your head. You move on from that. That's not a light view of sin. If you've confessed your sin now, if you've confessed it and you've asked God to forgive you, move on from that. It's time to move on. And if you don't, the devil's going to, listen, he's going to bound you right there and he's going to rob you of that peace that comes from a confession of sin and a forgiveness of sin. So accept God's forgiveness and then forgive yourself. Move on. Can't tell you how many people I talk to as a pastor that God's forgiven them. They know it. They just haven't forgiven themselves. Forgive yourself. All right? If God's forgiven you, who are you not to forgive yourself? Forgive yourself. Move on and serve the Lord with your life. All right? The second thing I want you to notice as we go back to Philippians 4, and I'll close with a couple of things in that chapter. The resources. We looked at the realm of peace. In Philippians 4, we'll look at the resources. Notice what he said here in verse number 4. He said, rejoice in the Lord always. The person of Christ is our resource of peace. See, if you try to find peace in anyone else, you're messing up. Or anything else, you're not going to find it. I want to tell you something about this thing with peace. And I want you to look what it says here in verse number 6. The last part of verse 6 is this. It says, the first part of verse number 7, and the peace of God. You see that? That's the peace of God. Now look, if you would, in verse number 8. The last part of that says, and the God of peace. Now, the peace of God, that means that God's not going to give you your peace. God's going to give you His peace. It's the peace of God. And it's verse number 9, the last part says, the God of peace. Now, what's that mean? That means God has monopoly on peace. That means you're not going to get it anywhere else. You're not going to get peace anywhere else. God has the market on peace. He's got it cornered. All right? He has a monopoly on peace. God's the only one that can give peace. There's a false peace. It's not real. As a matter of fact, we read in the scripture where the Antichrist is going to come and he's going to offer a false peace. And people are going to say, peace and safety. But you know what happens with that kind of peace? Sudden destruction. It's not real. God's peace is real. And it's lasting. All right? And so the scripture says here that this thing of peace, that you find it in Jesus. That's the resource, is in Jesus. Now the Bible says in 2, I want you to write the scripture down, 2 Corinthians in chapter 1 and verse number 20, that all the promises of God in Him are yea and in Him, amen. There's not one thing that God has promised in His Word that He's not going to do. See, that gives me peace. So we have the person of Christ, and then we have the promises of God. This is where we get our peace. I pray that this is where you get your peace. You say, well, my peace is in my work. That's not where your peace should be. My peace is in my 401k. That's not where your peace should be. My peace is in my retirement. That's not where your peace should be. My peace is in my family. That's not where your peace should be. And you could just fill in anything that you want to fill in there. Our peace is in Christ. That's the only person, that's the only place that we're going to get peace, is in Jesus. Amen. Rejoice in the Lord, always. You want to have peace? You're going to get it from Jesus. So it's easy for Paul to say he had it made. Yeah, I know, he wrote that in a prison. I want you to notice in verse number 4 where he said, rejoice in the Lord always. And then he said this, and again. In other words, just continue on doing it. I say rejoice. Amen? Find your peace in Christ. Find your peace in Jesus. Look to Him. Look to Him. He's the peace giver. You need peace? Look to Jesus. So, well, what about if you're going through this, preacher? Jesus can give you peace. There's nothing that you are going through, have been through, or will go through, nor I, that Jesus can't give us peace. Now listen, that doesn't mean He'll take away the hurt. It doesn't mean He'll take away the sorrow. You can have peace in the midst of sorrow. Amen. Right, brethren? You can have the peace in the midst of turmoil and trouble. You can get the worst news that you've ever received in your life and still have peace in Christ. You sure can. Only Jesus can do that. No one or nothing else can do that. Keep your eyes on Christ. Don't put your eyes on a preacher or a family or an individual or an object. Or keep your eyes on Christ. Get to know Him. Get to know Him. Do you know Him? You know, there was a years ago, and it's been around for years, N-O Christ, N-O peace. No Christ, no peace. K-N-O-W, Christ, K-N-O-W, peace. That's true. What do you know about Jesus? The more I know about Jesus, the more peaceful I am. The more I know about Him and who He is and what He offers and what He can do, the more peace I have. The more confidence I have that God is going to take care of every situation that comes in my way. I trust that you have that peace. I'm going to give you one final thing. What's the result of it? What's the result of peace in our lives, preacher? If we get this peace, now you can have this peace, all right? You can have eternal peace by trusting Christ as your Savior. Internal peace by keeping God's commandment, just doing God's will in your life. External peace by following just biblical precepts and commandments, just doing what's right by people according to the Bible. Turning to Jesus to get the peace, relying on His promises. I was thinking, I think it's 1 Kings 8:56, where the Bible says there's not one word of all of His good promise that has failed. Isn't that something? Do you get that? Nothing in here. Nothing. We say that a lot, but brethren, it's so. Not one thing that God said has failed. Now, if that doesn't give you peace, I mean, God has said He's going to take care of you. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Everything that God said, I'm going to take care of you. I will provide for you. I will protect you. That'll give us peace. God said that. Not some man in Washington or in Richmond. God Almighty said that. I'm going to take care of you. What a great peace that gives to me. I hope it does to you. I want to close with this here in verse number 6. The Bible says, be careful for nothing. Philippians 4, verse 6. What's the result of God-given peace in our life? What's the result of it? Be careful for nothing. See that word careful? It's a word that if you're not careful, you'll think it means careful. Don't be anxious. What he's saying. Don't let anxiety. Boy, I tell you, we live in a day of anxiety. Everybody's anxious over things. Everybody's on edge. He said, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. It's kind of interesting, isn't it? He said, when you pray, do it with thanksgiving. In other words, thank God for the answer. So I don't know what's going to be yet. Thank Him for the answer. It's going to be right. Amen. I'm telling you what God said. He said, whether you're praying, which is a general sense, or whether you're supplicating, which is a very intense, it almost includes fasting. It means to stretch out. Look the word supplication out. To stretch out. Prayer and fasting. Whether you're praying or praying and fasting, just go ahead and thank God for the answer. Well, He might not answer me. God answers all prayer. It might not be the answer you're looking for, but God answers all prayer. So go ahead and thank him for the answer, because it's going to be what's right for you. That's what he's saying. He said in verse number 6, be careful. Don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. That's what he's saying. And do it with thanksgiving. He said, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The word keep there is a term. It's like a fence. It's like a garrison. It's a guard. He said, this is what God will do for you. When you have peace with God, and you'll let God's peace rule in your heart, and you'll, as much as in you is, live peaceably with all men, he said, God will protect your heart. God will guard your heart. Now, brethren, I don't have time to turn. The heart of man is where people get, it's out of the abundance of the heart. It precedes the issues of life. The mouth speaketh. People just get so many things in their heart, and they just worry, and they get bitter, and they get angry, and they're full of hate. And God said, I'll protect your heart. I'll put a protective shield. Look what he said. I'm telling you what God said right here. He said, the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep, which means garrison, means guard, your hearts and your minds. God will protect you from some things when you have peace. You hear the news flash and you say, oh no. Yeah. Nope, got the peace of God. Have you heard there's a new variant? Peace of God. Amen. Yeah. Our president says it's going to be a dark winter. Peace of God. Gas prices soaring, going to be $5 for Christmas. Peace of God. The shelves are emptying in the grocery store. Peace of God. I might have peace of God. Peace of God. People are just acting like Chicken Little. You know, you remember Chicken Little? The sky's falling. Sky's falling. Peace of God. Peace of God. Don't let it creep into you. You say, well, preacher, isn't that the way we're supposed to act? God's people's not supposed to act that way. Our God's in control. Amen. Our God could, listen, he's got the universe spinning on his finger, brethren. God's in control. What are we getting all out of shape for? The peace of God. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. He said, it's the peace of God that passeth all understanding. I've had people tell me when I've said, we've been praying for you because of this or that in a tragic situation. Tragic. Listen, they happen in life, and I'm sorry, but it's real. And they said, well, you know what? I can tell someone's been praying. I can't explain it, but God has given me a strength like I've never had before. I never thought I could handle it this way. The peace of God. It'll guard your hearts and minds. It will. Well, the peace of God will guard us. And look, if you would, in the latter part of verse number 9, the God of peace shall be with you. That means it'll guide us. So the peace of God in verse number 7 will guard our hearts and minds. But the God of peace shall be with you. He'll guide you. The peace of God's important. So when those angels came that day and said, peace, goodwill toward men. Amen. Peace on earth, goodwill toward men. I'm glad I know something about the peace of God. I am basking in the peace of God. I'm thankful for it. I pray you know something about the peace of God. Let's stand to our feet. Emotion is a terrible leader. Never let emotion lead your life. It'll lead you into areas and places that are dark, and you will wish a thousand times over you'd have never allowed emotion to take the wheel. Not a good thing to follow your emotions.